And if you would, turn your Bibles this morning to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, we look at verses 1 through 6 this morning. The Bible says in Acts chapter 17, "Now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was the synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ." It's the same message we have today, pastors and ladies that are here today. "And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not moved with envy, and took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and exalted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, 'These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason has received. And these all do contrary to the decree of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus.'" I'd ask for you just to pray with me today that I could preach this message the way God wants me to preach it. Pray that the Holy Spirit will use me as I preach the message, "These that have turned the world upside down." Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you and praise you for this another day. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll fill me today as I preach the word. I pray that we will not only be a spirit-filled preacher today, but maybe we have spirit-filled listeners. And may we leave this place today encouraged and wanting to do a greater work for you. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name, amen. What a reputation these early Christians had. These who have turned the world upside down. I want to tell you today that this is the same God, the same Jesus that we are preaching today. He wants to do the very same work today as he done then. These who have turned the world upside down. They were confident in their Savior. They also wanted the world to know it. That is our message. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus changes lives. You know, there's a lot of people today that are hurting. It says in Luke that Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. There are brokenhearted people all over the place. No matter where you can go right down here to the next house, to the next place where the houses are together. You'll find that people are brokenhearted and they're looking for something. And I want to tell you, if you're a born-again Christian today, you've got what they're looking for. They're looking for Jesus Christ. They're empty today because they don't have Jesus Christ. They're broken today because they don't have Jesus Christ. He is the answer that they're looking for. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter what they smell like. Jesus Christ is the answer for them in their life. The message still carries the same power today. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. The Word of God will turn the world upside down and our lives right side up. If our world is going to be turned upside down by the power of the Word of God, there's going to be some things that's going to have to happen. Some things that's going to have to change. First of all, there will be a revolution, a major change in our lives and others. When the world's being turned upside down, man, there's going to be a stirring. I believe yesterday someone talked about our ministries are sometimes like skating on an ice pond. It's just going around nice and smooth. But you know what? There may need to be some plowing, as we heard yesterday. Some ground turning. There needs to be some cultivating. Some things going on. I want to tell you, there must be a revolution. Look what happened in Acts chapter 16. If you read verse, beginning with verse number 16, it says this. It says, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with the spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, 'These men These men are servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains, the money they was going to make, was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace. I want to tell you, they went into a place and things began to change. You say, well, why was this woman with a divination, why was this woman that was possessed going about and proclaiming them to be preaching the truth, to be talking about the Jesus Christ? You know what she wanted to do? You know what that spirit wanted to do? It wanted to link itself with the power of God. Paul was upset. And he said, you know what? We're not going to let this happen. We're going to rebuke this spirit. I'm not going to let it come alongside this ministry. I'm not going to bring in something that is out of the world and is of evil. No, I'm not going to bring in here and let God and expect God to bless that. And he wasn't going to have let anything be done that was against God's word. Many times today in our churches today, oh, the people are falling off. We got to change the music program. We got to get out there. We got to bring in a band that looks like a bunch of hippies or whatever. And we got to look like the world. They got to have tattoos all over them and showing them off. We got to appease the people. It is still the power of the Word of God that will change your life. It's not the entertainment that people are seeking today. We turn our churches into a place that people go and they want to feel good when they leave. I'll tell you what, I'm thankful for preachers of my past that's preached the Word of God. I felt like a worm when I left the place. Made me thankful for forgiveness in my life. Stepped on my toes and it got my heart. Sometimes there's going to be a change. This woman's life was forever changed. She was once possessed by an evil spirit. Now she wasn't. But you know what also happens? When things start changing, people start getting a little upset. Here it was, these men were making money off of her. They wasn't concerned about her one bit, were they? Man, she was better off where she was at. But no, their money, their riches, their church wasn't getting quite as much money as it did before. Oh, they took one of their members. And they sought to destroy them. And we see the evilness of how they got men, wicked men, to bring up charges against them and try to get them kicked out. I want to ask you this morning. I think it's high time. Are you ready for a revolution? It's time for some things to change. You know, growing up in a preacher's home and been around some great preachers. I've been in some great churches. But also, you know what? I've seen some things in the past that I want nothing to do with. I've seen some meanness. Well, if you don't cut your hair just the same length as I cut my hair, we ain't got nothing to do with each other. Think about it. If you're not in the same exact mold, some things are going to have to change. I'm not saying go against God's word, but I'm saying get back to the word. Amen. Are you ready for a revolution? Are you tired of doing the same old thing and getting the same old results? Are you tired of the principalities having control of your life? Are you ready to fight a good fight? Are you tired of having church as usual? Are you tired of being stuck in a spiritual rut? Are you tired of doing church instead of being effective? I'm afraid that's where we get a lot of times. Well, I'm just going to hang in there. Hey, you're relying on your own strength and your own power when you decide to do that. It's not you, it's all Him. High and lifted up. Are you tired of coming here bound and going home the same way? Are you tired of the devil running over you? Are you willing to be a freedom fighter? Then a change is going to have to take place. A change will have to take place. Are you ready for a revolution? Have you counted the cost if you're ready this morning? There will be a cost. There will be some difficulties in this revolution. You will cry sometimes. But the Bible says weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. In this revolution, you're going to be persecuted, but not forsaken. You're going to be cast down, but not destroyed. You're going to be troubled, but not in despair. You're going to feel lonely, but never alone. You may lose your life, life as you know it, but you will be living life to the fullest. I tell everyone that comes in our church, everyone's welcome. It don't matter what you look like. It doesn't matter what you've done. This is a place you need to be. And I tell every one of them, you say, you're living life to the fullest. You want to live life to the fullest. I tell you, you cannot live life to the fullest without Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no life outside of Christ. Oh, I want to live life to the fullest. I want to live every minute of it to the fullest. Are you ready for a revolution? 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And by the way, a light is always giving. 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 I preached a message Sunday morning to our church. Are you a giver or a taker? The first time giving is mentioned in the Bible is in the creation, when it talks about light, to give out light. And then in Matthew, it tells us and commands us to be light. We are to be givers and not takers. First time taking is mentioned in the Bible is when the fall of man came into place, sin came into the world, and said we must cast them out of the garden unless they take of the fruit. We are to be givers. It says, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know what? When people see me, when people see you, they shouldn't see you. They ought to see Jesus Christ. Amen. Pastor, you shouldn't be so full of the Holy Spirit. You need to be so full of what He'd have for you to do. When they see you, they say, I've been in the presence of Jesus Christ. Because He is popping out of you everywhere. Just like a little boy. He was in school and he was talking to the teacher. The teacher said, you know, that Jesus Christ comes and lives inside of us. And the little boy said, teacher, how tall was Jesus? Well, the little boy said, you know, He's probably about 6 foot tall. And she says, well, if He's 6 foot tall, I mean, He's living inside of me, shouldn't He be popping out everywhere? And that is so true. When you think about, it says that the heavens of the heavens cannot contain Him. We serve a mighty God, a big God. Do you not think that He is going to overcome us? Everything about us. You don't think He's going to be seen in us? He should be. Amen. Everything we do ought to be from the inside out. Amen. Because we're letting Him have control. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:7. In earthen vessels, that's the vessels that we have, that the excellency of the power may be of God. No, it doesn't say the excellency of the power must be of Kevin Altizer. Thank God. It doesn't say it must be of Pastor Kahn. Thank God. Pastor Huntley or Brother Covington. It says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down and not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Make much of Jesus. Hey, we fight the flesh. And the flesh tells you just to ride it out. The flesh says, you can't be effective. The flesh will tell you, it can't be done in today's age. The world's too wicked, it's too far gone. You better just hold on to the few you got. That's what the flesh will tell you. But you know what the Spirit can tell you? With God, all things are possible. Amen. The revolution will not be televised. You won't see it on CNN. By the way, gentlemen, I want to take a moment and I encourage you to do something. Capital Connection 2016, you need to be there. I was up there this year, almost over 300 independent Baptist preachers were there. And we had men that come out of our Congress and Senate who gave their testimony. And they begged us to be praying for them. We had churches. We had one congressman brought his Bible out, preached for 15 minutes and left. He was a Baptist preacher who's now into politics because he believes that's where God would have him. I talked with one man that he was a youth pastor for 20 years and now he's in politics. He said, I got the same ministry. I'm just leading people of Congress to the Lord now. I want to tell you, we've got some men of God in there and they're begging us, the independent Baptist church, to take a stand. So the church has been silent too long. One of them said, and it broke my heart, he said, we'll be as bold here as you are behind your pulpits. God help us. Independent Baptist preachers. We don't have an affiliation telling us what we can preach. We can preach the complete truth of the Word of God. And we take that privilege. And may we proclaim the truth. The President of the United States will not discuss the ramifications of this revolution. But, you know, I wrote that down, but I got to thinking, he might. He might. We got to sing Amazing Grace in the Rotunda. 300 Baptist preachers, bailing her out, buddy. And as the congressman walked back onto the floor where they was getting ready to vote, it was the talk of the floor. One congressman said, I was in that meeting, gentlemen, and I feel that revival was coming. I'm telling you what, we serve a mighty God. We just need to hold on to the hem of His garment. This revolution will liberate your life. This revolution will heal your heart. This revolution will save souls. This revolution will open your opportunities. This revolution will tear down traditions. This revolution will determine your destiny. This revolution will perfect your praise. This revolution will work your salvation. This revolution will convict your conscience. This revolution will revitalize your reconciliation. This revolution will renew your restoration. This revolution will release your revelation. We need a revolution. Are you ready? Think about this. The woman with the issue of blood. Her life was controlled by principalities of sickness for 12 long years. 12 long years. But she had a change of mind. If I could just touch the hem of His garment. Gentlemen, what's wrong with us having a desire just to touch the hem of His garment? Oh, if I could just touch the hem of His garment. I just feel His touch on my life. That should be our greatest desire. It shouldn't be that we are elegant in speech. Maybe put together a great outline. Our desire ought to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And let the power of God do the work through us. Amen. If He's doing the work, it'll happen. Amen. There's no failure in the will of God. And there is no success outside of the will of God. Our thing is sometimes we allow our situations, our geography, to take us out of the will of God. We listen to people's reasoning. I tell you what, you know what? If people are getting mad in your church, keep going, keep plowing. I had a man sit in our church for a year and roll his eyes and look out the window. Thank God the Lord moved him out of there. But you know what? I had to take my eyes off of him and keep my eyes on Him. And you know what happened last night on Wednesday night? Young boy accepted Christ as Savior last night. In my office after church last night, a 21-year-old girl with tears in her eyes prayed and asked God to save her soul. Her mama rededicated her life. During revival last week, we had people praying. One man was praying, taking up the offering. And he had a burden for a man. He broke in tears praying for that man to be saved. After church was over with, we brought everybody up to the altar and we prayed that God would save that man. He went and talked to him the next day and God gloriously saved him. A 75-year-old man that I'd witnessed to and another man had witnessed to multiple times. But God done the work. We had 4 souls saved. We had a tragedy in our area. A young man, a well-known bluegrass player, playing music. His life was taken. 2,000 people came to his viewing. Packed out church. I was able to give him the gospel. And 15 people accepted Christ as their personal Savior. So how can God get the glory in that situation? He got the glory in that situation. 26-year-old boy lost his life, but he did make a profession. He knew Christ as the Savior. That's the most important thing. 15 souls accepted Christ as Savior. His mommy and daddy. His aunt and uncle. I want to tell you, God's wanting to do a work. We just got to get in on it. Also, there will not only be a revolution, but there will be a crossing of social barriers. A crossing of social barriers. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 says, "Go ye into all." What's all mean? All the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says, "He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It doesn't matter if they're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if they are good or bad. Hell is full of good people. Only saved people go to heaven. It does not matter if they smell good or stink. It doesn't matter if they're pretty or ugly. Thank the Lord. And I'm looking out there and saying, thank the Lord again too, okay? It doesn't matter if they're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter if they're politically correct or incorrect. The gospel will break through the social barriers. I'm afraid sometimes we look at people and say, you know what, that'd be a good church member. Let's go after that person. I want to tell you, some of the best church members you'll ever have are the ones that have sunk the lowest in life. We got people from all walks of life in our church. And they're sincere. I can preach the love of Jesus. You can see the tears in their eyes. They're thankful for what God's done for them. Also, there will be a falling away of the chains and the opening of prison doors if we turn the world upside down. On Acts chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed." When our world's being turned upside down, the chains will have no hold, and the prison doors will be open. Also, when we are being used of God to turn the world upside down as a result of our obedience to Him, the chains of others will fall off and their prison doors will swing open also. It says in verse 26, "Immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed." I believe that's the greatest thing about being used of God. Not only am I free, free indeed, but God allows me to be used to help people to be set free from the chains and their prison doors to be opened because of my surrender. Your surrender to God to be used. When the world is being turned upside down, people will be better off just because they know you. Because you're allowing yourself to be used of God. It says in Acts chapter 16 and verse 27, "And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are here. Then he called for light." He didn't realize what light he's calling for. He got a light that didn't cease to shine, never burn out, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" You see, it wasn't only the people in the prison that were bound by chains. It wasn't only the people in the prison that had the prison doors. There was chains that fell off and prison doors would be opened. And we look at later on in that verse, it says that went to his house and his family was affected. His family was saved and they were baptized. And you know what? Here's a prisoner that had these men in prison and he probably was responsible for doing some of the beating. Now you see him cleaning sores. You know what, gentlemen, ladies, there may be someone, they might be vicious to you. Just give them the truth. When the world's turned upside down, that very same person may be the one coming and cleaning your wounds. Being the encouragement that you need. Hey, it doesn't say it's always going to be easy. It doesn't say we're always going to be able to reach everybody the first time, but be true to the Lord and He'll do the work. And then there will be a great love for one another. when the world is turned upside down. Amen. A great love for one another. It means loving another independent Baptist preacher. Amen. Even if he is 2 miles down the road from you. Love for people like you have never experienced before in your life. So I love Jesus. Well, I want to tell you this. You can't love Jesus without loving people. Amen. We need to go beyond being friendly to being friends. Amen. Well, I can't be associated with this person. I can't. Man, they're not living for God. What was it said of Jesus? He was a friend of sinners. How do you expect your church to be growing and your church to grow in number and to grow spiritually if you don't go after the lost? You know what I'm finding out in the ministry, and you guys are much wiser than I am. You've been in it a whole lot longer than I have. I've only been pastoring for 3 years, but this is the ministry. The ministry is relationships. Man, get to know your people. Rub elbows with your people. Get to know where they're at. My first impression of pastoring, I'm not going to get too close to anybody because I don't want to get hurt. But you know what? I had to get over that. Now, there's ones that I'm not going to get real close, but I still got to try, okay? The Lord will give you discernment. But we need to have relationships with people. I go bear hunting with the men in Craig County. I go coon hunting with the men in Craig County. I go fishing when I can with the men in Craig County. I go and help build things. I worked construction for years with the men in Craig County. I go over to Paint Bank and work at the swinging bridge and all the things they have for construction because there's one man that used to be in our church. He used to be the song leader. Used to be the youth man. And he hasn't been in church for 15 years. He's the man that always has to say, Pastor Kevin, anytime you can come over, you're more than welcome. I'll use you. So I do. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to build a relationship with that man. Try to get him over whatever it was that brought him out. And we've had some good talks. He said, I ask him every time. I say, I'll see you in church Sunday. He said, one of these days I'm going to surprise you. The ministry is relationships. There's going to be great love for one another. What motivated the early Christian? It was the love of Christ in their hearts for the lost and dying world. Do you see your neighbor falling into the fire? Do you see the person when you go to pump your gas dying and going to hell? See, we have the cure. Well, we give them the answer. Just like the man that developed the cure of polio, and what if he never told nobody? We got something more precious than that, and oftentimes we don't want to give it out because we're afraid somebody's going to say, you fanatic. You holy roller. You know what? I'd rather be I like it being called a holy roller. I'll roll right into heaven, okay? 1 John 4:19 says, we love him because he first loved us. Ephesians 3:16 says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. We got to love one another. We have to let the love of Christ have free reign in our lives. We have to love others. See, I think what happens a lot of times, we try to love others within ourselves. But if you're being used of God and you're allowing Him to have His way in your life, He empowers you. He loves others through you. It's only His grace that allows us to live this race the way He wants us to, by loving in a way that's supernatural. True love doesn't require a response. Yes, they might have said something bad about you, Pastor. Yes, it may be unjust, but get your eyes off of them and get your eyes back on God and trust Him to do the work in their life. See, just because they have attacked you doesn't mean you're not to love them. John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. that ye also love one another. And then lastly, there will be a stirring to worship. There will be a stirring to worship when we turn the world upside down. Acts chapter 16 and verses 11 through 15, we see the story of Lydia, the seller of purple. Her heart was open, her household was saved, and they believed in Christ and followed him in believers' baptism. And then it says they worshiped. Worship is service. This is one of the most confusing things out there today, what worship is. You know what? Our work for the Lord ought to proceed out of our worship for Him. Worship is not something that we come in and we put on. I was flipping the channels the other day on the radio, and I came across a contemporary station, and they were singing this song. It says, I'm going to put my worship on. That is the dumbest song I've ever heard. Well, I'll live like the devil all week long, and I'm going to come in them doors, and I'm going to put my worship on, and I'm going to do my part, and then I'm going to go back out, and I'm going to set my worship off. Worship isn't something we come in and we just say, okay, I've set aside this time to worship. Worship is about every part of our life. Our life is a song that's being sung. We ought to sing praises to God by the way we live, by the way we preach, by the way we teach, by the way we are friends one to another. Our work proceeds out of our worship for God. Man, there's going to be a stirring to worship. Man, I love them when people come into the house of God and they've already been worshiping God before they get there.
Amen.
Man, they come together and people are crying. And man, you call for somebody to pray. Man, they flock to the altar and they pray together. They're worshiping God. It's not entertainment. There's not some band or some drum beating to get somebody's emotions built up so they feel like they've been uplifted because of the music. I want to be uplifted because of God. Because He's high and lifted up. And He lives in my life. Man, what a wonderful Savior we have. What a great God we have this morning. The jailer in his house, I believe they was worshiping God. Let us take courage and ask God, how can we turn our world upside down? I want to give you this. What's worship? Psalms 34 and verse 1 through 3. It says, I will bless the Lord all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. At all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. That's worship. It doesn't matter what phone call you get today. His praise will be continually in my mouth. Doesn't matter how you got attacked. His praise will be continually. See, it's hard to mess up when His praise is continually in your mouth. And then verse number 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. And here it is. Verse number 3. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Oh, magnify the Lord together. Oh, magnify the Lord together. What happens when we start magnifying? It becomes larger, doesn't it? Would you magnify the Lord together with me? Pastors, when you get in your pulpit this Sunday, will you magnify the Lord with me? Preach Him high and lifted up. Preaching. Oh, it's Jesus. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name. You know, one of the most convicting verses in the Bible is one of the Ten Commandments. It says, don't take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know what I tell our choir every time they sing the name of Jesus? I said, if you're not giving that 100%, 110%, you're taking His name in vain. Pastors, when we get up and we don't do His name worthy in our preaching, when we don't lift His name up, we are taking His name in vain. I don't want to take His name in vain. Oh, come, let us magnify the Lord together. Will you leave this place today and magnify Him with me? Maybe who you'll get on the phone with after a while? Or maybe that church member that you've been maybe avoiding a little bit. Oh, come, let us magnify the Lord together. Let us exalt Him together. Hey, truth, friendship, and world evangelism. One thing Dr. Sexton taught me down at Crown College. Hey, we need friends. We can come together on truth. we can reach the world.